How about Mantha, man? It's just awesome.
Yeah. It's almost like someone knew what the fuck they were talking about when it came to Mantha.
It's, you know, like back to your blind squirrel comment. It happens. It happens.
I had numbers for this one, at least.
Yeah. Same as, I'm not going to rub it in too much. Yes, I am. Someone called there being some turnovers in that Michigan-Iowa game. I don't know who it was. I wish we had audio proof to point out who it was.
Your support was, I don't know, it could happen.
Oh, my exact words to Jay were, just because it hasn't happened already doesn't mean it can't still happen. And then sure enough,
logic,
it happened.
I've never met Adriana Lima. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Doesn't mean she's not walking through that door.
Don't you rule it out. I hear she's an avid listener of Detroit sports podcasts.
I would be shocked.
The stats.
That was out of me crying into my drink.
The salt.
Something salty about Mantha.
The sanity.
But I am going to point out one thing because he's not here to defend himself.
And every so often, they talk about sports too.
Here is Eric Dorsch, Russ Ivanek, and Justin Marcus. This is Armchair Sports Talk.
Well, I've been told to never come back from Copperhead Road.
All right, you heard the intro, you know who we are. If you heard the intro, you noticed somebody's voice was missing as a clip from their intro. We got no Justin today. Adult things. Yeah, just couldn't be there, couldn't be here for us. Left some notes, so we're definitely going to, you know, still get his opinion. I have a feeling his opinion's not going to be positive, but what do I know? I've only known the guy for forever and done the show with him for the last 2 years. Russ, yours might be positive, but we know it's going to be very analytical, and we know it's going to be very factual, something I'm not very good at bringing to the show.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to stick to the script here, but might have to pick up the slack because we have no one to put the J in jaded. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that's fair. We'll make it happen, though. We'll find a way. I think I can muster up some salt for him, but I did make a sweeping declaration to you yesterday in our text, and that was that I'm not going to say anything mean about Justin today. I'm not going to say a mean word. No. To be fair, I'm going to throw shots, but none of them are going to be directed at Jay and be mean. You know, I always make I get to say this. This isn't me calling him that. I always make the short and the bald and those kind of jokes. I'm not doing that today. Somebody called for turnovers in that Iowa game, and guess what? That person's sitting right here. He's got a big smile on his face, and he feels pretty good about it. We said in the pre-show, I didn't think it was going to be this big. I did not expect four turnovers after four games without a turnover. I expected an interception, maybe a fumble. You know, I mean, heck, a fumble on a punt, that's still a turnover, so it counts, and I'll take it. But, you know, Nate Stanley goes out, three interceptions. There's a fumble. Outside of that, Russ, we're U of M fans. This was the most boring game ever. This was Michigan's bend but do not break defense because we don't have enough offense right now, or we haven't figured out how to use our offense well enough that we can run away with it against you. So, I mean, Shea, 14 to 26, 147 yards and interception. I get how good Iowa is. You have some of the, you know, some very talented wide receivers out there. You've got some running backs that are quite quick in the flat. How the hell are you not spacing this out and saying, try to keep up with us? They just don't seem to understand that.
Speed and space, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that supposed to be the motto? Where is the speed? Where is the space?
I don't know about it, but I mean, I think you will agree with me, though. This defense did a lot of bend, don't break. There were a bunch of big fourth downs that Iowa was able to convert, but we were able to keep them out of the end zone. We were able to just kind of stay in it. It almost felt like one of those ones where we knew if we gave Iowa a touchdown, we were going to be in a big, you know, big trouble.
Well, no, they definitely did bend, don't break, but they might have also broke Stanley. Kind of turned him into flat Stanley there with 8 sacks, tied for the most we've ever had under Harbaugh. Somehow the other game is against Ohio State. I don't know how he pulled that one off. Hopefully they've got another one of those tricks in their bag for later in the year. But, yeah, the defense was tremendous and exactly what you said. If Iowa would have scored a touchdown, I'm not confident that they could have put up any more points. It's, it was rough. It was tough to watch. Unless you're a big fan of mostly immobile Iowa quarterbacks getting smushed, in which case it was a smorgasbord.
I mean, the nice thing is we were able to get those interceptions. I saw a few of them. A few of them were just bad decisions by Stanley. This wasn't like some guy made a big time a big play slate kind of move. The ball just happened to them. One of them, I believe, was a tip in the air that the guy just happened to be standing there and catch. So this was a lot on Stanley, but it was also a lot on our defensive line getting pressure to him, getting him outside and saying, you know what, make your decision because you're about to get licked hard. It worked for us. This seems to be a topic of discussion with you and I every week, and unfortunately, I would love to skip over it, but I can't skip over it.
The ugly truth.
We can't run the ball.
We can't blank the ball.
Yeah, you could fill anything in there. We can't throw the ball. We can't run the ball. We can't catch the ball. Our defensive backs can catch the ball. Yeah, you know what? Maybe we should have put our DBs in as the receivers. They seem to be catching balls.
Mm-hmm. Hey, there's an idea.
It's an idea. I'm just throwing it out there. Patriots won a
deep pass.
Patriots won a Super Bowl doing that. They put one of their wide receivers at corner, and he got an interception in the game. So, hey, it works.
I think there might have been a little more to it than that. But, yeah, I see where you're going.
Hey, you want to read deeper into things? That's your prerogative. I'm going at the I'm right on top of the water. I don't want to know what the duck's feet are doing underneath. He's floating.
Topical only, baby. All right.
No, we can't run the ball. 33 rush attempts, 120 yards. Best was Charbonnet with 13 carries for 42 yards. Outside of that, no one else hit double digits for carries. It's just, it is one of those things where I don't know what we're going to do when we get to Penn State, Notre Dame, Ohio State, because these are teams that are very good on defense, and we're not going to be able to squeak by on, a 10-3 win against any of them, because I don't think our defense can hold any of them to 3 points. We have a decent defense. We don't have a stop Ohio State from scoring multiple times defense. So I put it in my notes. The first thing I wrote down when I started jotting down notes for this game, this upcoming week against Illinois, we have 1 week to figure out what kind of offense we are going to stick with that we think gives us a best chance to compete against Notre Dame, Penn State, and Ohio State. Because if we don't figure it out against Illinois and we go out and, have a mediocre running day and Shea doesn't, throw for 200 and a couple touchdowns, at least 200 and a couple touchdowns, I have to say that confidence is going to be very, very low regardless of the end score going into the following week when we start this horrible, horrible little stretch of a schedule.
Well, what kills me about it is the defense, as you said, they've adjusted, right? Look 2 weeks ago how they did with Wisconsin as to how they did to diet Wisconsin, which Iowa basically is. Look night and day. Why can't they do that with the offense? They need to decide what they're doing and actually do it and adjust. And it's, I don't know. Do you have any more confidence that, hey, this coaching staff can adapt the defense? That means they should be able to adapt the offense too? Or is it just night and day and they don't have a chance?
I personally think it's a little bit of a night and day thing because I genuinely don't. I think Harbaugh and Gattis know what they have. I just really think that they either don't trust Shea to let it loose, or they just don't think that they have all the pieces in the right place to do it. Because I think with the how we got started this year, I think that Harbaugh is petrified of the turnover monster coming back. And I think he's afraid that if we unleash this and turn this into an air raid kind of thing with Shea, you're going to see one interception. And that's going to spiral to two. Spiral to a fumble. And I just think they're trying to go with this very conservative, low risk kind of offense, and that's all good and well, but that works really well when your running backs can do better than averaging 3.2 yards a carry on 13 carries. That's a lot better when your quarterback can do better than 14 of 26 for 147 and one interception. He didn't even throw a touchdown. Our number one receiver had 63 yards receiving on three catches. That's all great. But that just means he had three really big plays. Yeah, that just means he had one really big play or a couple decent plays. Outside of that, it wasn't really, I mean, when you only have 147 yards passing, you know there wasn't a lot of yards receiving to everyone. So
that math checks out.
That math checks out. See, I can do math. It just, I sometimes need to work it through a few things. I count with my toes, with my fingers. It helps. It really helps me. No, but I honestly believe that either, and I don't think Harbaugh's the kind of guy to do this, but I'll put it out there and you can let me know what you think. I think he's either keeping the cards really, really, really close to the vest for, you know, preparing for Penn State and Notre Dame and not wanting them to see everything. But I feel like, why are you doing that when you're only 7 points away from losing to Iowa? Shouldn't you go out and win all these games decidingly, not just keep it close? Either that or he really doesn't know what direction he wants to go in when it comes to this offense. And that concerns me even more if we're, you know, going into our fifth or sixth week of the year and he doesn't really know which way he wants to go with this thing.
Yeah, I think the only cards he's holding close to his vest, like if he's playing Hold'em, he's got like a three of clubs, an Uno reverse card, and maybe like a Park Place Monopoly card.
Hey, no, don't give up on that Uno reverse card. That'll get you a long way. That'll help you.
As we've shown, it's the wrong color. It only works against terrible teams like Rutgers, which is exactly the point. Rutgers, they put up 52, right? This is not historically something that Harbaugh does. He doesn't hold back, right? He doesn't go, I can score more, but we're not going to. He tries to score constantly and often when they have the advantage. So no, I don't think he's holding back. I think this is what it is, and I can only hope that he sits there at night and go, how did I get here? And how do I clone a healthy Andrew Luck and bring him in here? That's really the only top-notch quarterback he's had in college.
Mm-hmm. I would say, Jay, like I said, Jay gave us notes. Yep. Most of them you've already heard in the way of me talking. He pointed out that he, you know, no turnovers ended up happening. The one thing he did point out is the one thing we're really trying to make a point here. Patterson, 147 yards and an interception. Only points coming on the ground. Not a good look. Even when someone that isn't a Michigan fan notices how bleak it is, then you know you got a problem. Michigan, we're going to be hypercritical no matter what. But this is reaching a real point now where we have to ask ourselves, is Harbaugh just too afraid to say, I doubled down on a quarterback that wasn't ready for this, and I'm just too afraid to say we can't do this anymore, we got to move on from it? Or is he that stubborn to think Shea is the answer for getting us where we need to be by the end of the year? It's a very scary situation.
I think part of it is, yeah, Shea's our guy. I think the other part is they don't think anyone else on the roster can do it. I mean, we'll see how much they involve McCaffrey if he comes back.
I think McCaffrey can do it. I think that I would venture to say we could have the debate here, but I would, if you, just off the cuff here, if you can give me one aspect of the game you think Shea is that superior to than McCaffrey, I'll back off. But I just don't see any aspect of the game where you can honestly say Shea's got him head above water, McCaffrey's sinking in the deep end in that aspect. I just don't see it.
It was supposed to be his ability to read, both reads on the run option and in the defense, and his arm accuracy. It's not showing up. Neither of those are showing up. In fact, the reading of coverages has been the biggest weakness in Patterson's game. So, I mean, if McCaffrey's good to go this week, I'd give him at least half the game. Not like a garbage time cleanup. Give him time. Let's run some things. Try something creative that involves some of those big play receivers. I would rather, it's 3rd and 20. Don't give me a draw. Literally just send Nico Collins 40 yards down the field and lob it up. If it's picked off, you were going to punt anyways.
Yeah.
Give it a shot.
Well, but and the thing is, there are very, and again, there are definitely some, but there are very few corners in the Big Ten, at least, that I would venture to say can lock down our receivers every time. Ohio State probably has a couple. Notre Dame and Penn State.
I hear they're okay.
Michigan State, Penn State, those guys probably have some talent that you can go with. But I would not venture to believe that they have two lockdown corners that are going to be able to cover Peoples-Jones and Nico Collins and still account for the tight end coming across the middle or the slot receiver on top of the running back out of the backfield. There are just too many spots on this field that we can put threats that I just don't understand. Like, you just made a very good point. You're going to have to punt anyway. Send them down. Chuck it deep. If it gets picked off, it's a 45-yard pick, and guess what? Our punt would have been roughly about that. And then return, yeah, he's going to get a couple of yards. But at least you're taking a shot. We don't really like to do that, and I don't understand it. I do not understand it. I personally think if he's healthy enough to go, McCaffrey needs to see some time, because you last thing you need is to be in a game against Notre Dame or Penn State and Shea looks shaky and your other quarterback hasn't played since he got his head knocked off previous weeks prior. So if he can go at all, he needs to at least see a couple series just to make sure the rust is totally shaken off and we have a backup quarterback we can rely on.
So, a quarterback we can rely on would be a nice change.
Hey, I'm with you. I'm with you, buddy. All right, so let's move on. We got Illinois this week. I honestly don't remember the last time we played Illinois. I'm sure we did last week, but it was probably or last 20, year. But what's that?
20. I had it up. I had it up. I can tell you the last time they lost was 2009, and that's when Tate Forcier was the starter. So there's a trip in the way back machine for you.
Yeah. What year was that game when it was like Juice Williams against Denard Robinson that went to like the third or fourth overtime? That's the only one I ever remember. That was a while ago.
Give me about 30 seconds, and I will be able to tell you.
It wasn't Juice Williams either. It was some other dude with a really long last name that started with an S.
Richard Mendenhall, maybe?
No, this was a quarterback.
This is a quarterback. Okay.
Yeah, the last name started with an S, and it was longer than Roethlisberger, put it that way. It was a long name.
I'm trying to think of talented Illinois football players in the last, decade, and it's not a long list.
Well, it's because they all went and played at other schools.
Yeah. 2016 was the last time they played. Michigan won handedly.
Ah, okay. Well, they're going to play this year. And, everything I'm seeing, this should be a pretty easy one. 91% favorite. We're spotting 22, so we're spotting three touchdowns. And the over and under is 49. So, we do it every week. I'll let you lead it off this week. Where are you going with this game?
Okay, well, to answer your question from earlier, that crazy overtime game was in 2010.
Okay.
The 67-65 classic, let's call it. Jeez. And Seth Brookhisen was the quarterback. Oh, no, sorry, that's the kicker. Nathan Shielhaas.
That's who it was. I just remember that one. That one turned into literally whoever got the first stop, which it's overtime. Whoever gets the first stop will win. But that one was, if you could get a stop, you almost had the guarantee because it was scoring left and right.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure basketball teams didn't score that many points that year. So,
that'd be a good thing to look up. Maybe we'll throw that up on the old Twitter.
Yeah, we'll see what we get
for this game.
I don't think it'll be
anywhere close to that for either team.
No.
Like I said earlier, Harbaugh likes to run up the score against inferior opponents. Illinois is, let me check the win. Yep, they're an inferior opponent, despite what Michigan has shown so far this year. I got 38-3. Illinois has lost three straight, and they've allowed 23 or more points to everybody but Akron.
Mm-hmm.
And Akron's, oof. So this is a team that doesn't have anything, and Brandon Peters, who would be their starter, is likely out for the game. So we don't even get to see Illinois play the revenge factor of, he transferred from there. So they're dead in the water. Pop the champagne, right? Hey.
I would agree with you. Pop the champagne. In champagne. There you go.
Yeah, that's all I got there. What do you got?
Not much different. this should be a Rutgers game. Partially. I'm not expecting some. Justin's notes literally say that he expects this to be a 52 8-0 win against the team with eight I's in their name. I had something similar, but I think they will score, whether it's a touchdown or a field goal. I had them getting six, so I'll say two field goals. I had this being something more to the like of a 40-6 kind of game. We're going to put up some points because I think if Harbaugh's smart, he realizes we need to get all the Pistons firing on this offense or we could run into some real problems in a couple weeks. So kind of like I said with Rutgers, you need to look at this as your last tune-up game of the year before you have no other off weeks. Every other week has to be firing full bore to get as far as you can. Obviously, with a loss, it's going to be very, very hard to get through this the rest of this Big Ten unscathed. So I have this as they need to put up 40-plus points. There needs to be a lot of time in that end zone for this offense or else you can't be a team coming in with a lot of confidence going against the teams we got to play the rest of the way. So I'm saying somewhere in the like of a 40-6, somewhere like that. And honestly, I don't think it'll happen, but I think Shea needs to be 250-plus with at least two through the air for me to have any kind of confidence in our passing attack. I don't want to see – I mean, obviously, if scoring, but I the last thing I want to see is us handing it to Ben Mason 27 times on the goal line, and all we have is Ben Mason has six touchdowns, but he only rushed the ball for 5 yards. So,
man, I want to see 27 goal line rushes. I'm here for that kind of special kind of dumb chaos.
I don't mind it because it's scoring, but at the same time, you know, like this would be the time to break those thoroughbreds out, chuck it deep, and let them get a couple 50-yard touchdowns. Let them, you know, get out in space. I want to see these guys, you know, I honestly, my dream would be to say that next week I can nominate a U of M touchdown for play of the week. Because I haven't had an opportunity to do that at all this year. So,
disappointment, you are a coming.
Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. Justin, great notes as usual. There's no I in team and no team taking the field in Champaign this weekend. Michigan will shut them out and have a nice bagel narrative for the city to burn. Justin, I can't read Justin's handwriting or typing, or I'm just stupid.
Michigan will handwriting. Yeah, it was a text.
Michigan will shut them out and have a nice bagel narrative for the city to burn, though, as Michigan wins very easily. Michigan 52, the eight eyes zero. So Jay is expecting a shutout. I'd love it.
Same scores the Rutgers game.
Yeah, I would love it. It'd be great. And I said this is going to be Rutgers-esque, but I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan doesn't necessarily have the best track record for getting off to a hot start on defense right away to start this year. So I wouldn't be surprised if early on Illinois gets to move the ball a little bit. They settle for a couple field goals. And then you start seeing the team pull away like usual. So we'll see what comes of it. But, yeah, I got this 40-6 win. Something in that realm would be great. Moving over, this is the part of the show where Justin will skip because he doesn't want to hear a word of it. Listen, all the credit to him. I did this a couple weeks ago when it came, or 2 weeks ago, when it came to the Lions in Kansas City. I made a bold prediction. It almost paid off. I was close. A couple bad plays, a couple turnovers.
Closer than he was.
Closer than he was, yeah. But still, I went on a limb. No one was picking the Lions to win that game. It was a risk. I even knew that I was probably going to eat a lot of crap the next day from everyone because it was a bold prediction. Justin went out and did the same thing. He took a bold prediction on saying that Michigan State was going to beat Ohio State. Didn't happen. 34-10 loss. But I almost said it, and I'm not going to say it. I caught myself. You know what? Screw it. Jay's not listening anyway.
Oh,
to be fair.
You made it so far.
To be fair. No, I almost said to be fair, but I almost caught myself. I saw signs early of State looking like a better team than we've seen in a while. The problem was the talent rose to the top and State just couldn't keep the momentum going. Lewerke, again, nearly 40 pass attempts just to put up 10 points. That's a glaring sign if I've ever seen one. 218, he went 1-1. Collins, 12 carries for 63 yards. Then you get to the other side. Justin Fields, 17-25 for 206, two touchdowns and an interception. The defense did its job. They managed to pick him off. Then there was the guy that they just didn't seem to have any answer for, but no one in the country has an answer for, and that's J.K. Dobbins, 24 carries, 172 yards. Oh, wait. Then they had another guy, Teague, who almost got 100 yards himself. So they rushed for 323 on what's supposed to be one of the top defenses in the country. I'm going to ask you this, Russ. Is Michigan State one of the top defenses, or is Ohio State just the top offense right now?
Well, I mean, we listed it last week. Ohio State is one of the, like, top two or three most efficient offenses in the entire country.
Mm-hmm. No,
Michigan State's supposed to be, like, a top 10, top 20 type of defense. Oh, boy, did they not show it here, because OSU showed up every bit of efficiency in the air and on the ground. It was I guess I'll to answer your question, I'll lean more. Ohio State might just be that good, and I hate that so thoroughly.
Yeah. I need to apologize for the statement I'm about to make. If you hang up on me, I totally understand, Russ. Do you get a little bit of a feeling that Ohio State is the kind of offense Michigan's trying to be and just coming up short? Well, Ohio State ran the ball 16 more times than we did, but they also ran it for 200 more yards than we did.
I'm sure the offense everyone's trying to be, really.
Well, you know what I mean, though. Like, Fields obviously didn't have to throw the ball very much, but that's because they had such an effective run game. You have two guys that rushed for 260 yards by themselves. So, and they needed, I mean, obviously they needed 38 carries to do it. That's pretty good, but it's just, listen, hats off to Jay. It was a bold prediction, you know, and the fact of the matter is he stood by it all the way through, knowing what the outcome was going to be. But Ohio State's just that superior. They're just that much further ahead. They have all the money in the world to pay these kids to come play there. And then in 3 years, the scandal comes out and you find out that all those kids were, you know, getting paid to be there the whole time. They all had Hummers and, you know, Lexuses and all that. And it's fine. Get suspended for 2 years. You're back up at the top again. It's a cycle. They'll make it work.
Kind of drive home that point, though, if it's OSU that's really this good. In the last 5 years, there's only been two running backs that have more than 18 carries and over 6 yards per carry against MSU. Brandon Dobbins has done it twice.
Okay.
Markell Jones from Purdue is the only other one to do it, and that was back in 2015.
Okay.
So he's got the keys to the castle when it comes to Michigan State. They're just that good, unfortunately.
Yeah. Justin, the opportunities were given to State immediately, and they blew it. I think we covered that. We said they looked good early on, and just it was that kind of situation. Game was sealed within the – I don't know about sealed within the first four possessions because they ended the quarter. It was 3-0 at the end of the first. It wasn't until the second that Ohio State started pouring it on. So I don't know if it was sealed in the first four possessions, but I think you could definitely see what way the game was headed in the first four possessions. I was wrong in my prediction, but not out of my mind. You were a little out of your mind. Just a little. Not a lot. You were a little out of your mind. Okay, the medication you're taking, you need to maybe up the dosage a little bit, and you're fine again. Collins, Stewart, only decent talents on O, and they weren't enough to bail OSU or bail us out from OSU. Listen, Stewart, 6 catches for 68 yards and a touchdown. That's good. I don't know how you say Collins was one of your only bright spots. 12 carries for 63 yards. If this is your back, there needs to be more. If nothing else, you need him to be at least cracking the 100-yard thing. You need to be going to him and going to him. Because clearly Lewerke, you know, basically at 50% passing for 218 and a 1-1, that's not going to get it cut. You know you're not going to be able to get it done through the air if Lewerke has to throw the ball 40 times and he, you know, only gets to 200 yards passing. So,
nope.
I get what he's going for with the talent. I don't agree that those were your only two pieces. You could have, in this situation, you need to be spreading the ball out to whoever's open. You almost needed to go to, who did they play the week prior? I'm blanking. Was it Indiana that ran the dink and dump on them and nearly pulled it off?
Michigan State you're talking about?
Yeah.
I believe so.
You think I would know this, but I don't.
Yeah, well, we got a lot going on. We had a whole Lions bye week to, you know, forget everything.
It happens.
The whole thing. I got the game log.
Yes, Indiana, 40-31.
Okay.
40-31. So you almost needed to get into that. Not that it would have won you the game, but they know who your best two players are on offense. You don't think they're going to key for them every single time? You needed to be, if you're open, you're getting the ball. Doesn't matter if you're the fifth string wide receiver or, you know, you are one of these two guys. Whoever's open gets the ball. Let's try to beat him in space. If nothing else, we eat up some clock and keep their offense sitting on the bench. That's how I feel about it. State is left with playing spoiler to Penn State, U of M, Wisconsin, and the year is over. I feel like I need to see a therapist with how erratic MSU's season has been. Mark loses to Penn State, U of M, and Wisconsin. He better retire while he can. I can cover all three for you. You're not playing spoiler to any of those three, unfortunately. Maybe, all right, you'll maybe give U of M a game. Just because we don't know what U of M's offense is going to be like. You're not playing spoiler to Wisconsin. If you think Dobbins gave you a hard time, imagine what Taylor's going to do to you. The guy's the... I thought he was crazy when he predicted it, Russ. I'm not going to lie. I thought he was crazy when he predicted it.
That would be a good prediction.
Taylor is the best running back in the country right now, and he's not slowing down. So you know what? Jay, if you're listening to this part, you were very, very bold on your prediction of Taylor, and that one paying off immensely. Love it. But you're not playing spoiler to Wisconsin. Penn State, I don't really know. I haven't looked enough into Penn State. I'm going to do that here in a week or two because we're going to play them. I don't think you're going to play spoiler to them. I called it at the start of the year that you were going to have an erratic season. Your offense is just not there. Your defense is good, but you've run into that problem of your defense, even if they hold them to 14, the 14 points aren't guaranteed, or the 17 points aren't guaranteed on the other side to get the win. Your offense isn't there. One week you go for 50, the next week you go for 3. If anything, if they could get a very consistent offense, it doesn't have to be insane, a 17, 21-point offense, they would be next to impossible to beat. But the problem is they can't do that. They cannot seem to find that balance. So I'm not saying you guys are done for the year, but I think that this is going to end up being a 500 year. And listen, it's the same with Harbaugh, but D'Antonio's had a lot more success where he is. You got to wonder how much more time he gets to, you know, yeah, he's got the most wins in Michigan State history. That's great. If he stays there long enough, he might have the most losses in Michigan State history too. I mean, that's just an inevitable.
The old Brett Favre.
But it's just the inevitable thing. Do I think he needs to retire? No. Stayed as positive as he can going into this year, knowing that this was going to be a rough year because that offense isn't necessarily all there. To be honest, one more loss to one of these big three teams, I have no idea why Lewerke's on the field for you anymore. Your season is, I mean, you lose one more time, you're 4-3. You're absolutely out of the running to be in the Big Ten championship. You're not playing you're playing a good bowl. You're not playing in a great bowl. Lewerke's done after this year, I'm pretty sure. Give Lombardi or give the other ones a chance. Give another quarterback a chance. That way you're not going into next year with a quarterback that's never seen the field. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with it, but I think it's going to be a rough, rough go for the rest of the way. And we might as well get into it. Wisconsin, Michigan State, this is going to be a tough one. Wisconsin is steamrolling as an offense right now. 75% favorite. I was kind of surprised the spread wasn't a little more. It's only at 10.5 according to ESPN right now. The over-under set at 40.5. I'll go quick here. I think this is going to be the same thing as last week. I expect this to be a 30-plus points to Wisconsin. Maybe two touchdowns for Michigan State, depending on how much of an offense they can get going, depending on the kind of day that Collins has, depending on if Lewerke realizes that, hey, if you throw to the open guy, you get more yards than you incomplete a pass to a guy that was double covered. So I'm going to say something along the lines of, you know, we'll say 34-14. I think this is going to be a 34-14 game. I think 10.5 is very generous. I think if you're going to spot points to make this even, you got to spot three touchdowns, especially with the fact that I think Taylor's going to easily get, I'm not going to say 200. I'll say he gets right around Dobbins. I'll say 175, and I'll be modest about it. But I think if Taylor plays the whole game, he could easily get 175 and probably two touchdowns on him. So I'm going to go 34-14, Wisconsin win.
I got it a little bit closer. I got a 30-16 Wisconsin win with the logic that, well, Wisconsin's basically Ohio State. That's defense isn't quite as good. Passing game definitely isn't as good. But they've got a better running back. And remember that stat I gave you about Dobbins being only one of two players to do it?
Yep.
Jonathan Taylor's averaging 20.6 carries per game and 7.2 yards per carry and has not played against Michigan State. So we're probably going to have three running backs on that list after this week, unless Michigan State really proves, hey, no, Ohio State is really that good. We're very good too. I'm not betting for that side. So yeah, 30-16. It'll be closer in the first half, similar to how it was like 17-10 for a little bit there in the Ohio State Michigan State game. So man, it's we're really getting to the thick of it with the Big Ten. It's interdivision games, and here's where stuff really matters, and I guess where we get sad.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but I think you're right with that one. Justin, real quick on it, Wisconsin will cover the spread. He's going to take the under on points. State's defense, Willekes, I can't pronounce that name, and Bocci, are all playing for the green and white, but now the focused on their own green, putting together highlights for the draft. The defense will not go flat, and they will contain Wisconsin. Okay. Lewerke will throw for 40 times and complete 23-25 of them, squeaking out 14 points. So Jay's with me on they're going to probably put up two touchdowns. He has it as 24-14. I mean, I hope you're right, Jay. I really do. He's accepting that he thinks this is going to be a loss, and that's big of him. I just think, as much as you do have some big names on that defense, no one else in the country has been able to contain Taylor. I don't know if a team that's kind of struggling and is coming off another game where they gave up 300 plus rushing yards will be able to do it. So 24-14 is a good score, but I just think you're gonna have a little more trouble containing them, and I expect it to be a little higher. But 24-14 for Jay, and I think we're all pretty agreed on that this one's gonna be a rough one for him. But we'll see what happens. You never know. This is actually a game I'm kind of excited to watch. I'd like to see Taylor. At the same time, I'd like to see Michigan State slow him down. If they can do that, that'd be awesome. But at least he's accepting that Lewerke's gonna have to throw the ball 40 times.
Yeah, if they can hold them to, like, under 5 yards per carry, they can start to have a chance at this game.
Hey, good for them. I hope it happens.
Good for them.
It's not going to happen, but I hope it happens.
Didn't sound condescending at all.
I'm not condescending. What am I ever condescending? I was right about the turnovers.
Yeah. Well, only in days that end in Y.
Only in days that end in Y. Don't they all? Yeah, they do all end in Y. Good job.
They do. They all sure right. do.
All right, well, we had a week off from this, so let's get into it. I'm excited for this game because this is a year where I actually have some... What's that?
Prime time.
Prime time. Detroit Lions, Green Bay Packers, Monday Night Football. It's going to be a good one. Lions had a week of rest. That's good on one aspect. I honestly do not believe Matthew Stafford would have been able to play had he had to go this past Sunday. He's pretty banged up. That week off probably means a lot. But also, they had a week to watch Green Bay put their foot on the gas against Dallas and just play a pretty good game. You knew the Dallas was going to score some points. You don't have the weapons they have and not put up some points. But Rodgers looked like Aaron Rodgers of old. He was, playing pretty good. They had a overall balanced offense that just put their foot on the gas, 34-24 win over the Dallas Cowboys. I can find my notes. My notes are not working with me today. Rodgers 22-34 for 238. Didn't put one in the end zone, but at the same time, when you have Aaron Jones rushing for 107 and four touchdowns, you don't really need to do that. So,
absurd.
What's that? Yeah, it's absurd.
It's just absolutely absurd.
Absolutely absurd.
Love it. I'll take the drop. I had him in both of my fantasy leagues, and I'm so happy about it.
Oh, good for you.
It's worth it.
Obviously, we don't have a lot to recap from the previous week. So before we get into it, Russ, I do want to get your opinion on, do you see this bye as a positive or a negative going into a Monday night game against a division rival that just put up 30-plus points on a pretty decent Dallas team?
Oh, I see it as a huge positive. Okay. There were some key players that were hurt that gives them time to recover. Like you mentioned, Stafford, Slay missed the game against the Chiefs. Diggs left in the second quarter. Mike Daniels missed the whole game. He's probably going to be out this week too. Hawkinson, oh.
Yeah, that right? one was. He's, listen, stop trying to jump over people. You're 6'5". No,
yeah,
we don't need it.
Stop.
Let LeBron be the one that jumps over people. You just run through them.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah, at least LeBron doesn't have people trying to actively take his legs out when he does
but,
it.
But listen, it's basic math. You're 6'5". The guy trying to, you're the guy trying, I mean, get. I get that the guy that's trying to tackle you is 5'8". You've got that much on him. Pick him up and run with him. You have another arm. You don't need to try to hurdle him. It's cool if you can do it. It's all SportsCenter. It looks awesome. But see, if you try to do it, this is what happens.
Yep. Yeah, it's a definite risk. But he is a full go at practice. Hasn't been officially cleared. But Dubai also gave him time to not miss a game and get recovered. It also gives them an extra week of film prep, which this may be the first time I've ever said this in my life, but I have faith in the Lions coaching staff game plan against an offense. Like, the Chiefs lost last week to the Colts. Mahomes, after the game, one of the first things he said was, they did exactly what the Lions did last week. Oh, wait, if that sounds familiar, that's because that's what everyone said about the Rams at the end of last year, too. This is a defense that is actually being schemed very well when they have the opportunity to take out top quarterbacks and neutralize some of their strengths. She's going to give me an extra week to go against Aaron Rodgers and a team that, oh, the Lions have beat four straight times and seven out of the last eight. Hell yeah. Get on the bus.
All right. Well, I'll zip through Jay's notes real quick because we got a lot we wanted to cover and we're running short on time. So I'll zip through, I'll give Jay's prediction and then, I'll let you give yours. But, Jay, Lions are rested and hopefully, healthy with Daniels, Hawk, and, Danny Amendola. We need all three of them back to compete with the Packers. I don't disagree with you there. I think that Amendola would have, listen, the turnovers were fatal, but I think Amendola would have been an extra key piece to beating Kansas City because it just, there would have been too much on that offensive side for Kansas City to cover all of them. So you take one piece away and it makes it a little harder. Packers D has only allowed 18.6 through five games, but the three teams were a joke. Bears, bad QB play. Vikings, even worse QB play. Denver, Flacco, that is all. That's the problem. He blows. I don't think you'll disagree with that.
I totally endorse that.
Jose Flacco is not that good. Eagles and Cowboys were able to score versus the Pack because they have options on the field. Eagles took the ground game to win, and the Cowboys went the air and fell short. Lions, if healthy, will win. Jay has this boiled out to a Lions 34, Packers 27 victory. It's a bold statement. I like it, though. ESPN, real quick, has them as a 66% favorite to win it. Spread's only 4. So that's pretty interesting. Over-under's 47. So there it is, Russ. Monday night, who's coming out on top? Lions off the bye or Packers off a big week of offense?
Oh, it's the Lions.
Ooh.
Oh, it's the Lions. And I'm a fugitive. I'm going to let you know exactly how.
Okay.
Mahomes, the only time he has ever been held without a pass completion of at least 20-plus air yards in the game was against the Lions. The Packers have four of 40-plus air yards this year, which tied for 6th most in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Lions did that against Mahomes without Slay, with only half a Diggs. Oh, Rodgers is going to be limited. They're not going to be able to do as much in the air. Davante Adams is still questionable, leaning against playing this week and aggravating his turf toe. Who's going to step up? Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who couldn't step up last week with the added pressure of Davante Adams being out? No. Equanimeous St. Brown? Spell his name. Still no. This is going to be a Lions win. They have one shared opponent. It is the Eagles. The Lions won. Packers lost. That doesn't mean much, but I'm stealing the score from that game. That's why I mention it. 27-24. Lions are going to win. Five straight against the Pack. FTP, baby.
All right. FTP. All right. I like it. I like it.
I'm juiced up, man. I don't know about you. I'm excited for it.
Listen, I already told Aaron. I'm like, listen, Mondays are off. I don't have to work Tuesday. Eric's going to have some adult sodas, and he's going to watch this game, and he's going to enjoy himself because Monday Night Football, Lions, I don't get to enjoy it very often. So when I do, I plan on it. I couldn't agree with you anymore, though. I think Rodgers is going to have a harder go against us. I would like to point out, I think the Lions messed with Mahomes a little bit. He had a bad game last week, too. I just think maybe we are the QB killers. Not really, but I'm just having fun with it. I expect a big game out of Kerryon. I'll take the drop here because I have him. I expect a big game out of Kenny Golladay.
Oh, hopefully good for you.
Hopefully good for me. I had it pretty close to the same as you. I think we're all in agreement that the Pack's going to get in the 20s. I have the Pack scoring 21. I have us scoring 27. So I'm with you on that.
Ooh,
I have a 27-21 game. I just think the rest came at the right time. I said it earlier. I don't think he would have been able to play had he had to go on Sunday. I think that extra week to just kind of relax, you know, whatever needed to be treated, get treated. And listen, if you tell me we're going to have Danny, Hawk, Golladay, Marvin, Jesse James, and Kerryon. We have other running backs, and I'm blanking on their names right now. We have Ty Johnson, and then actually McKissick's been good too. I actually don't mind him.
He's good for one play a game, or he'll break off a good one.
He's a good spark back. But if you tell me we're going to have all of that out there against a Green Bay team, I like our odds. I really do. I like our defense right now. It's got some holes. It's still got some imperfections, but we have a second round draft pick that's playing like he's been in the NFL for a bit and looks pretty good in Jelani Tavai. This defensive line's getting a little more solidified. I know you like Jelani. Don't give me anything. Jelani Tavai looks good.
I'm shocked by how quickly he's acclimated to the NFL.
I'm also getting a little comfortable with Will Harris. I don't want him in all the time, but I'm not minding him in on a couple plays. He doesn't appear to make monumental rookie mistakes. So that to me is another vote of confidence.
Don't say too many nice things about him. He doesn't screw up really bad. All right.
Well, what do you want me to say? Like, I'm okay with him being
in. I just busted your chop.
He's better. Listen, he's better than Tease Tabor.
okay. I mean, he's got a pulse, too. So
yeah, that's true.
There's something.
No, I have this 27-21. I just think there's a little more of a complete, or a little more complete on both sides of the ball than Green Bay is. That being said, you still have to worry about a guy that scored 4 touchdowns last week. You still have to worry about a guy who I believe all of us had on our list as one of the top wide receivers on the planet.
If he plays.
And you still have Mr. Mustache Aaron Rodgers out there. He's still pretty decent at this game. I know he's kind of, we've talked about this, he's faded to the back a little bit, but he's still pretty decent at this game. So I say 27-21. I think this is going to be a fun game. Something tells me when we do this next Thursday, we're going to be celebrating. I really hope that's the case. Real quick, because we have to get to hockey, but we have a tradition going and I want to keep it going. Just real quick, give me your game of the week and your play of the week.
Well, I'll start with my play of the week because it makes me chuckle on a little Ohio on Ohio hate. Baker Mayfield getting driven into the ground, Joey Bosa popping up. What's that? Oh, he's planting a flag. He remembers petty revenge from 2 years ago. I'm here for it. I'm here for petty, stupid revenge, especially when it divides the square state of Ohio straight in half. It was a great play.
Not a lot of time spent together to get that operation clean. Mayfield taken down again as he just gets rid of the ball.
and it was Boza. What a first half out of this rookie. And did you see him going with that flag motion there? If you remember what happened back in college, it was Mayfield who planted the flag up at Ohio State. Boza getting revenge.
He ended up doing it again at the end of the game. That's the entertaining stuff in the NFL, plus he's got enough talent to back it up. So.
Isn't your future wife from Ohio?
Yeah, she is. And her parents both work at the university.
Good for you. Keep going.
Not that I'm tainted by that. I just enjoy, you know, Cleveland Browns suffering because it's not Lions suffering. Yeah.
Preview for next week's show. Ladies, we'll be taking calls for Russ, newly single after his fiance hears this podcast. He's a catch.
Oh, she's got too many important things to do to listen to me any more than she already has to.
Very true. My wife's never actually heard this show, and she's been on it. So
does she know you have a podcast?
There's a rumor. All right, so great play of the week. I get a feeling we're going to be the same here, but what's your game of the week?
I got Houston and KC.
You son of a bitch.
I figured when I looked at it, it'd be it. And it's an obvious one. Highest over-under of the week, the most dynamic young quarterbacks in the league, but the undercard here. Houston is a Patriots branch coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Do they take Patricia's game plan against Houston and apply it? Is this going to be a league-wide thing now? And this is really going to be the barometer to see, hey, did Patricia give away the secrets? So that's going to be very interesting to watch.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So my play of the week was McCaffrey, who I'm going to go out on a bold statement right now. Christian McCaffrey is the best player in the NFL right now. Right now. He is the number one ticket, best player in the league, and he proved it by a big 84-yard run.
3-0 as a starter. Hands it off to McCaffrey. There he goes! It's a C-Mac attack! McCaffrey, one man to beat! McCaffrey, all the way! His third touchdown!
Against the Jags last week. I think this guy is insanely fun to watch. Coming out of college, I had my doubts. I thought he would be a specialty guy. I did not see him as an every down kind of guy, but he has quickly become that, and he shows no signs of slowing down. This guy's going to get some serious, serious money when he's due for a contract, and Panthers better pray they can hold on to him. They got to hope that this guy's committed to the cause. Obviously, my game of the week, same as yours. I found it interesting. Deshaun Watson, first guy to throw for 400 yards and only have 5 incompletions ever. No one else has ever done it.
Wow.
Ever.
Look at you with the stats.
Yeah, I saw that the other day. But you and I have both been talking about this guy since he came out of Clemson. He's a heck of a quarterback. Now, if a couple weeks ago they had billed this as the two new young quarterbacks, Mahomes and Watson, playing against each other instead of Lamar Jackson, I would have bought in on that ticket. But let's see how it goes. Mahomes is coming off two rough weeks, and I think that Houston's going to come out on top in that one, but I think it's going to be a fun game to watch no matter what. So as for Justin's game of the week is New Orleans, Jacksonville, basically Bridgewater Minshew. Everybody wants to watch Gardner Minshew right now, and I don't blame him. Jacksonville, basically even money, more points scored in this game compared to Kansas City and Texas. I don't agree with you on that one, Jay. I think we're going to see a lot more points, Kansas City, Texas. But who knows? It should be fun. We'll see how that goes. As for play of the week, it wouldn't be our show if Justin didn't break the rules. So Russ and I both went NFL, which is why it's called NFL play of the week. Justin, he didn't see it. He didn't want it. He didn't like it. He knows that hockey's back, and we're about to talk about hockey. He knows that hockey is back. And therefore, he went with a nice goal by, I believe it's the Calgary Flames, Tkachuk. This was a really, really nice goal. It was pretty good. I could talk to you about it, but I think I'm just going to let the clip do its job. So this is Justin's play of the week.
They get set up now on the 6-on-5. Anderson shoots, stopped by Campbell. Rebound, Tkachuk scores! What a night for Matthew Tkachuk. And with 1:04 to go in the third, he ties it up at 3.
And, Justin breaks the rules, but in breaking the rules, he might get the W this week. We'll obviously have the poll up tomorrow. All 3 of those clips. Give us your vote. And we'll see who gets play of the week. It should be interesting. Russ, here's the last topic, and obviously I probably shouldn't have saved this one to last because I think this is probably the one we could have gone forever on. We've spent the last 2 years of doing this show listening to Jay just have nothing nice to say about Anthony Mantha. Just nothing. Nothing good to say.
He heard you.
He heard you. He got very upset. And now he's going to score a lot of goals, which in reality doesn't really hurt Jay because it means the Wings win. But if you're Justin, you want to see the Wings do terribly because you're salty as hell. So, I mean, hockey's been in your life a lot longer than it's been in mine. That being said, I'm not going to say ever, but I'm going to say, have you ever seen a hotter start by a Red Wing in the first few games of a season that you can remember?
I think we have to go back to Shanahan for the only Wing player that on the home opener put up 4 goals in a game.
No, that was 1933.
It was the last home opener, 4 goals?
The last time someone put up 4 goals in a home opener was 1933.
Okay. I must be confusing it with some other thing because Shanahan did have a very early season 4 goal game.
Oh, okay.
But regardless, to answer your question, no, I can't remember a Wing starting off this blistering to start the season. And he's the only one shooting. He's got 17 shots, and the next guy is Hronik with 8. Like, they're just feeding him constantly, even strength, power play. That, how we've got Ovi's office and at the left circle right around the dot there, the inside of the top of the right circle is just going to be Mantha's shooting range, where he's just going to spray it. It's probably not always going to hit the net. The one goal against Dallas, he was lucky it hit the defenseman's stick. He didn't get all of it, and that's how it snuck in. But that's a shooter's goal, and that's what he's going to do a lot of. They have focused the offensive attack through him. He might go cold, you know, like we just saw against Anaheim. But when he's on, he's going to be on, and this is going to be real fun. My prediction of 30 looks like it might not be enough if we come even close to keeping up some of this.
Well, I talked to a friend of mine, Sean Belegian. He's on a 204-goal pace right now, is what
probably
was mentioned last.
Probably not going to hit that.
We'll see. You never know. Things can happen. No, it's not going to happen. I want to get to Jay's notes because obviously he's, you know, the guy that's been against. But I would like to say this. I don't expect it to be the number one in the NHL, but I really, really, really like this Mantha Larkin Burt line. I really like this one. I think they would be smart not to mess with it. It's just got that balance. Burt, to me, seems like that guy who is going to do everything he can to get Larkin and Mantha the puck. And Mantha and Larkin don't seem to mind setting each other up either. So I think this is a very selfless, not selfish line that's going to do some great things if they can just keep moving the puck and guys getting into the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
The
only concern and why Blashill might break them up is they're the only thing going. Now, with AA coming back, maybe that changes. But 29% of the team's shots came from those three. 8 out of the 10 goals so far have come from those three. They have 17 points. Everyone else has 11. So if opposing teams key on that top line and are able to limit them, there's nothing. Like, hopefully Hirose and AA can build off that chemistry they kind of showed. But that's a one-way trip to the Blashill blender if something else doesn't get going and it's only these guys scoring.
Yeah. Also, last time someone scored 4 goals for the Red Wings was Johan Franzen. So that'll pace here for what happened. I have one more question for you. I'm going to get to Jay's notes real quick, and then I got one more for you, and we can kind of – we'll treat it as the wrap-up to the show. Jay's notes. I won't deny it. Mantha's getting himself in the right spots to score, but sooner or later he will jump back into the lift and catch a ride as a passenger to nowhere. I love the early storyline, but I'd rather black out the first 2 weeks of the season to really see who's going ham in the league and not just a 3-4 game span. Example, Jack Hughes only has 3 shots on goal and no points, but he'll be winning the Calder come April. So, okay, that's fine. You knew that Jay was going to enjoy it, but he wasn't going to buy into it, which none of us should really buy into.
Of course not.
First games. But I would like to ask you this, and, you know, this will kind of be our wrap-up here. First 2 games, we looked like a good hockey team, obviously a lot of points. This last game, not so much. Losing to Anaheim, where they put up basically like three or four goals in a very quick span. I would like, is that the Red Wings team we should more put ourselves, you know, in the mindset to see this year? Or should we expect maybe a middle ground between the two?
No, this is not going to be a good team.
Okay, that's fine.
Even though they're 2-1 right now, they have a negative expected goals for differential, negative scoring chance differential, negative high danger chance differential. Mm-hmm. But they're even in shots, which just means they're taking more poor quality bad shots than their opponents. Those first two wins came against backup goaltenders at the beginning of the year. They faced a, you know, a good one finally in Anaheim, even though the team is garbage, and they looked bad. It's basically going to be, did the top line score three goals today? Okay, then the Wings might have won. No? Probably lost. I don't think this changes anything in my prediction of them. This is probably going to be a bottom five, bottom ten team in the league at best.
Okay. I would agree. I think, do I expect a little more out of them? Yeah, I expect them to, you know, there's enough young talent on this team to be good. I will agree with you that I do think that top pairing is going to be probably going to get broken up sooner rather than later because they just need to find places to put the spark in. But
I hate it. I hate it, but it probably will.
I don't like it either. I honestly, but at the same time, you're sacrificing a short time of ice for your best three over spreading them out and getting them, you know, evenly distributed. I mean, they're the three leading point guys on our team right now. That says something about how good they are. You just got to wonder if we can maybe find a couple spots to patch together some lines. Do you just kind of take it? Like, accept that there might be a little bit of a drop-off, but you're getting points when you need them. So we'll see what happens with that. I mean, early season. We got a long way to go.
Yeah.
I would put it
at 8 to go.
Yeah, I would put it at about a 3% chance that we're this optimistic in 2 months. But what do I know? It's a quick tease. We next week, Russ, you brought it up. We are going to talk XFL. It's coming. Got to talk about it. It's more football, which I don't think any of us will ever be upset to talk about football. So definitely listen in next week. We're going to go over it. These are a lot of guys that we liked watching, but they just weren't able to hold on to roster spots in the NFL. Going to give it a shot in the XFL, and we'll see how long that one lasts for. Another great show. My thanks to Justin Marcus for sending us some notes that I don't know how to read. Jay, we miss you, buddy. Can't wait to have you back next week. Russ, I say it every week. You make me sound a lot smarter than I really am. I was able to do a little bit of math this week, so clearly you're rubbing off on me a bit.
Yeah, I'm proud of the stats you brought. I'm disappointed I wasn't able to make Justin sound smarter this week, but I'll have to live with that.
Yeah, you know what? It's fine. He wasn't here, so we're going to say you did a great job. And as always, I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. It's one small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcast.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.